Following up on our sermon series in Joshua, and last week in Joshua we had some bad news. In chapter 7, the sin of Achan, which we see as a picture of the wages of sin. The wages of sin are death, and that was played out in Achan's life. During the Battle of Jericho, Achan sinned by stealing some of the loot. He stole from God. Because God had told them to devote everything and everyone in Jericho to destruction. The only thing that they could save was the precious metals, and those had to go into the treasury of the Lord. So Achan plainly disobeyed God, and it caused Israel to be defeated in the next battle. They went from Jericho to another little town up the road. They said, this one will be easy, and yet they were sacked and went home with their tail between their legs. And Joshua fell before the Lord. What's wrong? What has happened? Because Joshua didn't know of Achan's sin. And what Achan stole was not a large amount. It was a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold and a fancy robe from Babylon. And he hid it in the dirt and under his tent. When Joshua became aware of this, when God told him, and God told him a procedure to go through to discover that theft and to recover the loot and what to do with the person who had stole it. And Joshua did all that. And God plainly told Joshua, you have to deal with the sin in your camp or I'm not going with you. You have to get the sin out of the camp. Joshua followed his instructions. Achan was identified. Achan confessed and he gave up the loot. And then Achan and all of his family, all of his livestock and everything that he owned were carried outside the camp to the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. And they were all slaughtered there. They were all of the family and the beasts were stoned to death. And then everything, including the bodies, were burned. And they piled up a huge heap of rocks over the body of Achan to remind people what had happened there. Achan's sin earned death for himself and his whole family. And it is a picture, a vivid picture of the wages of sin, which is death. Now, I don't need to re-preach that whole sermon. It's on the website. You can listen to it there. You can read Joshua 7 for yourself. But I want you to know that these events are important to us. It also explains the price of redemption. For Israel to be reconciled with God and for God to continue to go with them, the penalty of Achan's sin had to be paid. And the price of redemption was the death of the guilty party. Achan, along with all of his family, bore the cost, paid the price for that redemption of the nation. And then God's anger subsided, and he continued with Israel. It's important to us because we're all sinners. Every one of us. We all fall short of the grace of God because we sin. We disobey God or we reject him. And we bring on ourselves death. We're born with a sin nature, and we act on it. You know, as soon as we're able, we do wrong. And that sin separates us from God. We must be reconciled to God. If we are not in right relationship with God, then we're missing the whole point of our creation. Because we are created to be in relationship with him. And we will never live up to our potential outside of a relationship with God. In fact, unless we know God, we will die spiritually, eternally in hell. So who will pay for our sin? Who will die for us to be reconciled to God? The cost of sin is always death. who will die for us. In a land such as the United States, which has become completely sinful, is there any hope for us? Is there any opportunity for us to be reconciled to God? Who will die? Whose death would be worthy of reconciling all mankind? How many people would have to be devoted to destruction to pay the collective debt of our sin? What can be done? Are we doomed? There's another aspect of the old covenant, the covenant between Israel and God, that we need to consider because it's Easter. You remember that in ancient Israel, God had told them to practice this system of temple sacrifice. And so in the tabernacle and then later the temple, they would take all manner of offerings, of sacrifices. And the most important one for us to think about today especially is the sacrifice of a lamb. Each family would raise a firstborn lamb, perfect lamb, no blemishes, absolutely perfect lamb, firstborn. They would raise it up just to take to the temple to be sacrificed for their atonement. And the father, when they got to the temple, he would lay his hands on the lamb to commute his guilt onto the lamb, and then the lamb was slain. The wages of sin is death. Did you bring a lamb this morning? Would it help if you did? Those lambs, that sacrifice had to be repeated over and over for Israel. Does God even desire the sacrifice of lambs and bulls? Or does He desire you? Who or what will pay for our sin? Who will pay the price of atonement for us? Are we doomed because of sin? Now, because you are in church on Easter morning, I suspect you know the answer. Or maybe you're curious. Or maybe you're just here because somebody demanded that you come to church on Easter. Regardless of your particular case, I pray that as we read the Lord's Word, that His Spirit communes with your spirit. And that if you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior, that your spirit knows today, I need to do this. That's what God does. The answer is Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the one who came in flesh to show us how to live and to pay the debt of our sin. Jesus, the one who was born to a virgin lady named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem, and then raised up in the town of Nazareth in the area of Galilee. And I don't need to go into all the historical proof today of His life and death and resurrection, because there is ample proof. There's plenty of evidence. It is well established. And just as Achan's sin was bad news, the good news today is that Jesus Christ has risen. He has risen from the grave. He died to pay the debt of our sin. He took on all of our sin once for all so that we do not have to die. He is the Lamb who was slain. And His death is sufficient because He is God in flesh. He took on all the burden of our sin as He climbed up on that cross. It just struck me as I was preparing for this, how did the cross hold all that weight? Jesus took on the burden of all of our sin, and He died on that cross on Friday afternoon. But you know that death could not hold Him. He rose from the grave on Sunday morning, and that's why we're here today. It's why we worship on Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection from the grave and His salvation for all of us. I want to go into the New Testament to Apostle Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost for some help. We'll let Peter do some of the preaching for us today. You might remember the day of Pentecost was 50 days after the crucifixion. Peter was preaching to a large crowd in Jerusalem after the Holy Spirit had swept into the city and stirred things up. And Peter was explaining what was going on. Peter was indeed filled with the Spirit. And in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, you find his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to pick up in well into his sermon in verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Peter said, "Fellow Israelites," just put yourself in place of Israelites this morning. That'll do fine. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David," and that's King David of Israel, "said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, and you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of fire, of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out on you what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Brothers and sisters, we're far off from that day of Pentecost, but the promise applies to us today. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit was blessing both the speakers and the hearers on the day of Pentecost. The people heard the truth of God. They heard as the Holy Spirit unveiled the truth and opened their eyes and their heart to the truth. And it says they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart and ask Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" You see, their guilt was uncovered. They understood their guilt at that point. They knew something had to be done. And people still today are experiencing the calling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's happening even now, as we read in the Lord's Word, that that God's Spirit is speaking to your spirit and revealing anything that needs to be given over. and left behind so that you have right relationship with the Father. It's really the only way that people are open to accepting the gospel message. The Spirit convicts our spirit that we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He is the one sent by the Father to show us the way and to pay for our sin. And He died once for all. The work is done. Jesus has paid the price to forgive all of our sins. And there is a requirement to experience His forgiveness and grace. We're not universalist. We believe that Jesus' death and resurrection has the power to save all men, but it does not unless we choose to follow Him. And so each of us must make that choice. And once you know the truth, you have a choice to make. Either follow Him or reject Him. We must repent and believe. Peter told the people in Jerusalem, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you already know that repent means to change your mind, change directions, to go away from your sin. We must confess our sin, put a name on it, and turn away from it. And when we repent, when we turn away from our sin, we need to turn towards something better. Or else the sin just leaks back in and fills the void. Repent and believe. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe that He is God and trust Him as Lord. In Acts chapter 4, there's another sermon from Peter. And there he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Trust the Lord more than anything or anyone else. That means to put His desires ahead of yours. And when you begin to practice that, you will notice that His desires become yours. Your desires reflect His. And you actually reflect His nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and live a new life. Repent and believe. That faith is the conduit for receiving salvation. When the Holy Spirit opens your mind to your sin and your need of a Savior, and you repent and believe, God gives you new life. Commit yourself to the Lord, and God the Father, through the work of His Son that is already done, regenerates your life, gives you new life. The old is gone and the new has come. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need spiritual rebirth. Now, we know that for some people to process this takes a while, especially that part of repentance and belief. Sometimes it takes hours or days or years to process that, but it doesn't have to. For some people, it's immediate. The Spirit wakes them up and they say, yes, I want Jesus. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were baptized that day when Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity today. You've seen baptism depicted today, a picture of our death and resurrection with Christ. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus today. There are people here who have never done that, and you need to. And there's no reason to put it off. What better day than Easter, Resurrection Day, than to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord? I want to ask the music team to come up. We're going to sing a little bit. We're not going to sing long. So be ready. You can come now. You don't even have to wait for the music. Come. Would you come to the front and let us pray with you? We're not going to drain the baptistry today. We're going to leave the water there. And you, if you want to be baptized today, we'll stay after the service is over, or we'll come back this afternoon or evening. We want you to have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Bless you, Lord. Amen.